I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I had dinner over at Angel and Angelica's house with Noah, and an angel asked me, what do we need to teach Noah so we can get him ready for baptism? And I said, well, let's just talk about learning how to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and being, and loving our neighbors as ourself, and trying to follow Jesus however we can. And so I think I wrapped it up in kind of that kind of pithy 3 points right there. But I did not, however, expect this reading in which we were told that people should hate their mother and father. So I've got a little fancy footwork I've got to do this morning, because you are not to hate your mother and father, nor your uncle or your aunt or anybody else. Okay. So we have to begin with this reading, which begins with, "Now large crowds were following Jesus." So the reason that there were large crowds following Jesus was that Jesus was feeding people, he was curing the sick, he was giving sight to the blind, he was exorcising demons, he was teaching with great wisdom and love, and he was, in some ways, radiating great power and authority off of him. Who wouldn't want to follow Jesus if he were doing all of these things? And so people were coming and following Jesus because of all of these great deeds of power. But the problem was, as victorious as his mission ultimately would be, he was not ultimately going to overthrow the Romans and the corrupt religious elite in Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem to suffer and die on a cross. And all of these people who were following him were there because they had eaten bread and fish with him, because they'd been healed by him or seen somebody else healed by him. They had seen the power of Jesus and thought, Jesus is going to liberate us from all of these corrupt worldly powers. We are going to follow this man with great power. Except Jesus kept telling people that he was going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. And it wasn't getting across to people. I'm not just feeding you to feed you. I'm inviting you with this food to participate in my life, in my ministry, and yes, even in my death and resurrection. The people wanted the easy button for life, and they wanted Jesus to be an easy button for them. And so Jesus says something that is really hard. Hey, if you want to be my disciple, these are the three things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to hate mother and father, brother and sister, and yes, even your life itself. The second thing you're going to have to do is pick up that cross and follow me. And the third thing you're going to have to do is give away all your possessions. Now, I have good news for you. Last Sunday, Angel came to me with two cars, which I think were Noah's, and he said, you know what? Noah's getting baptized next week. He doesn't need these two cars. I'll give them to you, Father Robert. So he's already well on his way of giving away all of his possessions now, right? All right, so I'll get the rest of your cars later, okay? All right, I'm going to give them to Jesus, okay? They'll be put to good use. Okay, so now, the point of this is this. When Jesus is saying you have to hate father and mother, brother and sister, and yes, even your life, what he is saying is this. If you want to follow me, you can put nothing between me and the mission and God. If you keep saying to me, hey, look, I gotta take care of my mother. She's really sick right now. Jesus, I can't follow you for another few weeks or so. Can you just wait right here until I get back and I've taken care of my mother and my brothers and my sister and my elderly father, right? Can you just wait for me, right? And Jesus said, no, the mission is right now. We're going to Jerusalem right now, and I'm going to die on a cross. And I'm inviting you to participate in my life and my death and my resurrection. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to be willing to be shaped by me. You've got to be willing to be loved by me. You've got to be willing to do that which I do. I'm going to pick up my cross, and I'm going to die on it. Are you willing to pick up your cross and give your life over for the mission? Now, on one hand, there is something really important to be said here. On another hand, we have to realize that Jesus is speaking both rhetorically to people who think he's going to be doing one thing, overthrowing the Romans and doing lots of really cool things, and not what he actually is going to do, which is suffer and die on a cross. And finally, when he says, you've got to be willing to give up all of your possessions, he's not talking about a 9-year-old boy giving up his soccer ball and giving it to Father Robert because he doesn't have a soccer ball, and giving him his cars because he doesn't have any Hot Wheels, right? So he's not saying that. What he is saying is this. Whether you like it or not, whether you follow me or not, you will, in the end, wind up giving everything back. You can give it up willingly and follow me, or you can give it up being taken out of your cold, dead hands. One way or another, you're given everything back to where it came from. And there's nothing you can do about it. You might think right now, well, I'm the paragon of health and good looks. Well, what could go wrong, right? Well, take a look around you and you'll see what could go wrong. Right? All right? You know, I got to tell you a little secret. I used to be young and handsome and tall. Uh-uh. Right? The first thing that gets taken from you is height. Then youth. Then the health. And what Jesus is saying is this, and it's really profound. Where I am going, I invite you to go with me. But you can't go with me if you're trying to hold on to the world. If you're trying to hold on to all of the conceits and vanities and problems of the world, it's not going to work. If you keep bringing all of your anxieties and your fears and your worries with me, you're not going to be a very good disciple. If you want to follow me, ultimately you need to know that everything you have is ultimately going to be taken from you one way or another. Now, you can follow me and give it away willingly, or you cannot follow me and have it taken against your will. Now, what does this mean for you? What I think it means is this. There's going to be a lot of times in your life where your mom and dad are going to ask you to do things that you don't want to do, right? Might you have to take out the trash once in a while? Even if the trash bag is bigger than you, right? Might you have to muscle up and put that thing over your shoulder and take it to the curb? Right. Might you have to do math homework that you don't want to do, even when Real Madrid is on television? Right? Might you have to write a paper instead of playing soccer? You see, and this is the problem that is always at our doorstep. The easy way is always at our doorstep. And what Jesus is really telling all his disciples, whether they're 9 years old or whether, you know how old, okay? The easy way is easy because the world takes it, encourages you to take it. But the hard way, the way of Jesus, well, that way takes discipline. That way takes a little difficulty. And that way also takes others helping us to know what is good. So, I've got good news and bad news. Unfortunately, you are not to hate your mother and father, even when they tell you to do homework. you are to love them. And not only understand that mother and father are trying to get you to follow Jesus and be the person that God calls you to be, but your Tio and Pia are also trying to get you to follow Jesus and be the best person you can possibly be. And not only that, but your uncles and cousins and friends and family also are trying to do that. And not only that, but all of these people here today are here because they want to see you be the best person possible in following Jesus, in saying yes to Jesus, and not just following what the world does. And that can be hard. Because what that means is giving up what we want right now. Now, the waters of baptism are indeed grace-filled and efficacious. And what that literally means is when you go and get that water poured on you, you're getting Jesus' power put on you. You're getting Jesus' mission and ministry put on you. You're getting Jesus' love and Jesus' encouragement put on you. And you're getting your heart changed and shaped like Jesus. And all of these people here are here to encourage you, not only as you go to the waters of baptism, but as you go out into the world, to be somebody who can say yes to Jesus and no to all of the craziness of the world. Now, what that means is your soccer ball is safe for right now. Your cleats are safe for right now. Right? But it does mean you might have to do a little math homework later tonight. And it does mean that sometimes you're going to have to do what your family asks of you, which might be uncomfortable, because they want you to be the best disciple of Jesus you can be. The good news is that we've all been invited, including Noah, to follow Jesus. The bad news is, it's not all ice cream and steak. Sometimes you got to eat your vegetables. And Lord knows, I know it's difficult.
Yeah, come on, Robert.
So, when we come up here, I want you to know, you got this whole church praying for you and loving you and desiring the best for you as you say yes to Jesus. All right? Give me a fist bump. I love you.